Amen. Can we bless the worship team? I know they've vacated the stage, but thank you, thank you. You're always more grateful when somebody can do something better than you can, and you appreciate it. And I know that I cannot get on stage and sing. At least I know I wouldn't want me on stage singing, and I guarantee you wouldn't want me on stage singing. But I love it, the beauty of the talent and the gift. Can we honor our ushers? I know they've already come forward and, you know, stepped out when I kind of changed things on them. If you missed the announcement this morning, Pastor Mike and his wife, Deb, along with some of our leaders and then a handful of our members from both Valley Christian Center and Hope Chapel are participating in an immersion experience this weekend called Zealots. Pastor Mike's been talking about it around here. He spent last year going through some training, but it's a discipleship course that's geared towards activating and exposing what God has called us to be and called us to embody as our gift and as our passion. And the terminology they use is knowing your sweet spot. And I just want to make a plug for Zealots in a few weeks. We'll have a little ceremony where we honor those that went through it this weekend. They get a certificate. As I mentioned before, Dwayne, Victoria have gone through it. I sat through it, not in an official immersion weekend, but just in time with Pastor Mike in his office. And then last spring, we took our Wednesday night group kind of through some of the foundational steps of just discovering how do you know what God's called you to do? And I think one of the biggest questions that I always run into when pastoring and ministering to people is they want to know purpose. But can I just encourage you? Purpose is the overflow of worship, meaning the more I worship, the more I connect with God, the more I understand how I've been designed and made to be. And the beautiful thing is that we're all unique because we all have different family origins. We all come from different experiences. We all have different perspectives. And the challenging yet beautiful expression of the church is how do you embrace and honor that uniqueness? And one of the things that Zealots and this ministry is geared towards doing is exposing that in such a way that you identify with it. It's meant to give you some action plans and some steps to help grow into this identity and identify those sweet spots. But the other thing that I love about it is that it's also geared towards activating you and speaking into the life of other people. And so we're on course to see that Zealots becomes a key component to the ministry that we do around here. And the beautiful thing is that Pastor Mike is super passionate about it. He's talking to other pastors in our valley about it. And so they're preparing to invite him in to do trainings and equip them. And I love that because the church has been called to go, right? And the beautiful thing is when we get called to go to other churches and resource them and equip them in areas that they're not strong in. And one of the beautiful things that I've seen around here in our friendship with Valley and Hope is the beautiful, where we're strong, we're able to help, and where we're weak, you guys are able to help, and vice versa. And so it's the beautiful expression of the kingdom. And so that's where they're at this weekend. I guarantee you he'll be back next week, and he'll be amped up and excited about what God is doing this weekend and stuff. And so I want to give you just a few announcements, and then we're going to invite Shelley Ulmer up this morning to bless us. After this service, all you men that are able to stick around for about 5 minutes, we're going to meet in the fireside room. Ivan here, Shelley's husband. It's on his heart, and one of the things that we're going to do this year is at Valentine's Day, just bless our wives and women. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like and how we're going to pull that off this year. And so if you've just got about 5 minutes, spouses, women, wives, you can just wait. Don't go outside. I think it's a little cold, but you can wait in the foyer or something like that while we just take a few minutes and talk about some strategy and some ways to bless the women and bless our wives this Valentine's Day. So that's right after service. For those of you that helped with Family Promise, thank you so much. We had a great week. We got all our spots filled. And again, if you're not familiar with Family Promise, it's a local ministry that we partner with around here, along with a handful of churches to help displaced families as they move from church to church in the season of just getting up on their feet again, saving some money for rent, and then working through some life skills. And so it's a beautiful ministry here in the Valley. Lastly, around here, we pray for churches, and we pray for the Lord to bless them as he blesses us that we would never get caught in the pride of trying to think that we are the best or the only place that God is moving and working. And so we put other churches before us every week. And this week, it's Orchards Baptist Church, Pastor David Niemeyer, up there by Rosars. And the beautiful thing is that Pastor Mike and I have gotten to know Pastor David and his wife Danelle this year. And they are a blessing to our valley. And we're going to pray for them, along with some missionaries, Chris and Heidi Ness, who are serving in Sicily. And so if you just bow your heart with me, we'll pray, and then we'll invite Shelley up. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the work and the evidence of your hand upon our lives in this place and in our valley. Lord, we thank you right now for what you're doing in Orchards Baptist Church with Pastor David Niemeyer and his family and his staff, the members that call that home and their fellowship. Father, their heart's desire is before you night and day, and we just want to join with them in petitioning, Lord, to see the fulfillment and desires fulfilled in this season and in this hour. And so bless them in the name of Jesus. And Father, for those that have taken the call of the gospel message to be preached to the ends of the earth, we bless Heidi and Chris Ness as well, as they've discerned your calling and your leading and said yes to go. And may we all be recognizing each other as missionaries, whether it's overseas or just to our neighbor. We've been called to go and preach the gospel. So we bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the word this morning that's to be delivered. Lord, we thank you that you've prepared our hearts like tilled soil to receive the planting of the word, the watering of the word, and the power of the word. And we thank you for the vessel of Shelley Ulmer this morning as she brings the word in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Would you guys grab your Bibles, put your hands together, and welcome Shelley this morning. Come on up, Shelley. So I've been around here for a couple years, as you guys have so graciously welcomed Hope Chapel to come and share space. And in the midst of that, we're working towards this merger. But in the midst of all of that, I've gotten to know Shelley and have been blessed by not only her wisdom and her perspective on life and the faith that her and her husband walk in, but also in her ability to prepare food and cook. And so I've sat in many meetings where she has prepared food for us and blessed us. And so I pray that this morning's word would be like a meal to you in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Shelley.
Amen. Hey, Star, before I get started, I have somebody to introduce you to. And I think that you'll be happy that we waited just a little bit to hear the message. This beautiful little angel is Zofia. And she was born December 26th. She's the tiniest baby I ever held. And she's not happy because Mama doesn't have her. But she's doing everything that a baby needs to do, even though she was only 4 pounds and 15 ounces and a little bit early when she came. So praise the Lord and welcome Zofia. Can you do both?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. She's definitely a mama. And that's Star. She's the mama. I'm really happy to be able to speak to you. I'm always happy when I get asked to speak. And so I'm really glad to be here today. I'm also really glad, for those of you who know what I've been through this last year, to be walking on 2 feet without pain and without a limp. Our God is a healing God. Our God answers prayers, and that's for sure. In fact, I have to tell you about one prayer that he answered for me. I could tell you of dozens, and I'm sure that if I opened up the floor, each of you could probably come up here and tell of stories of his mighty works and what he's done in your life. But when I was really young, Ivan too, he was with me there, we went through infertility. We couldn't have a baby. And we were married when we were 22. Well, Ivan was almost 23. But we were 22 years old, waited a year or so, then said, oh, let's go. Time to start. Well, we didn't get a baby. And after years of trying, I was told that I would never conceive. And it was heartbreaking for me. And I was devastated, absolutely devastated. God, what am I on this earth for if I can't be a mom? Well, that took like 6 years. And we were working through it, but it was still very raw for me. And we hadn't got ourselves on an adoption list or pursued that avenue. But I was still praying, God, I want to be a mother. And I feel like you meant for me to be a mother. So One day, I'm in my kitchen and the phone rings. We were in a brand new house. This phone had never rung before, not one time. It had just been installed. Phone rings. Somebody from my childhood, somebody I knew years in the past, hadn't seen or thought of in years, called up and said, "Would you take my baby?" That's a miracle. And God does miracles. The Bible tells us of instant healings where people are just miraculously healed. Paul walks by and his shadow touches somebody and they're healed. And we know that those healings are for today. We believe that, and we know, and we can testify that that hasn't stopped, that God is a healing God, that we worship the star-breathing creator of the universe, and he can do whatever he wants, and he can heal us. We know that. It's a for sure thing, and I'm confident in it. Now, this is the hard part. This is the part that gets a little hard for me, and I hope that you'll bear with me, because I really didn't want to share this with you because it's very personal. That's what testimonies are. And I guess today's message is a testimony. And I didn't want to share it with you. In fact, in November, I was asked to speak and I felt like God was wanting me to share this message with you. And oh, hallelujah, the furnace broke. And I didn't have to say this. I didn't have to give you this message. Yeah. Well, I was asked again to preach today and I'm asking God for my burden. Lord, what do you want me to speak on? What is it? Nehemiah is a great subject. I can really riff on Nehemiah. Yeah, Lord, let's do that. Yeah, let's build the wall. Let's go. Yeah. But I'm praying then. Oh, I think he wants me to talk about this, which tells me that there's some brother or sister out there, and you might know who you are by the end of this talk, who you are. There's somebody out here who needs to hear what God is saying today. So this is for you. And let's just go. Let's see where we get with this. You know, Ivan and I have had many answers to prayer, and we live a blessed life. But we've been praying for the very same thing, the very same miracle, for 30 years now. 30 long years. Now, you guys are probably good at math, but when I tell you that Ivan was 30 years old when he started having trouble with his vision, and it wasn't much longer after that, the doctor told us that he had MS, multiple sclerosis. At that time, this was a disease that had no known cause. They still don't know what causes it. It had no known cure at that time. Still doesn't. And at that time, there was absolutely no treatment either. If you're 30 years old, you have a brand new baby fresh from God in your arms, and you get this message, oh my, it's like a dark cloud bends over your future, and it's hard to see forward. It's just hard. Well, we prayed. We asked God for healing. We prayed. And we told him about the promises in his book, and we prayed. We asked other people to join us in prayer, and they prayed. In fact, I'd say over the years, probably more than 100 people have prayed for God, have prayed for this to God. And some people have been praying for Ivan literally for years for healing. And still, there's no evidence in front of us that God has answered this prayer or that he's healed. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today, is what do you do if you have to wait for God to answer that prayer? What do we do in those times of waiting? Now, I know that I'm not alone here. I know that some of you are waiting for answers to your prayers too. Maybe you haven't waited 30 years. Maybe it's only been a few weeks or a few months, but the situation is so dire, it's so hard, that it feels like years, it feels like decades. And I just want to kind of give you a little bit of wisdom that Ivan and I have earned over the years in our situation. Yeah, because even though we know that some prayers are answered like that, sometimes we don't even have to pray. Somebody else has prayed for us, or, you know, what do you do when you have to wait? Yeah. Some of you are going through difficult times right now that are so hard that you're not even really sure how much longer you're going to be able to hang on. I know that's true. And this can come maybe as a result of some bad choices you made. And I want to tell you right now that God loves you, even if you made bad choices, even if the situation that you're sitting in right now, you can look back and you can point directly at your own self and say, I did this to myself. God loves you. And he's here to help you. And he's wanting to give you a way out of that situation. He's waiting to do his miracle for you. He wants to do it. Doesn't matter. Maybe you're trapped in the prison of addiction. Maybe you have a lifestyle illnesses because you've made bad choices. Maybe you're in debt. God loves you and he's here to help you. Maybe your situation comes because we just live in a fallen world. It's just true. And bad things happen to Christians just like they happen to everybody else. We're not exempt. Maybe you're a victim of abuse. And even though you've trusted God for your healing, Even though you've forgiven and forgiven, the echoes of the humiliation, the beatings, the verbal abuse, they still leave an impact on your soul. And you're saying, God, take this away. Take this anger out of me. God is here for you. Maybe you suffer from genetic anomalies, no fault of yours, no fault of your parents, but they're there. And because of that, you have pain, or you have some other disability. Maybe you've experienced cancer. Maybe you're going through it right now. Or maybe, like Ivan, you have MS. God loves you. He wants to heal you. He's here for you. So, like I said, some of you, like me, have been praying for decades. Decades, long time, 30 years, a lifetime of seeking God on one thing. And maybe if you're like me, you've had these moments when you're just like, what is going on? God, why don't you intervene? Why don't you help me? I know you say you love me, but what? 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 Is there something wrong with me? Is there something wrong with my faith? Is there something wrong with my prayers? What? Or maybe it's even worse. God, maybe you just are indifferent. Maybe you don't care. I mean, I'm sorry, but yeah, I've been there. I have been there. And here's the worst. Here's the worst thing in those dark moments. Maybe you've even said, God, maybe you're just not able. Maybe you're not able to end this suffering. Maybe you've said that too. Well, all of those things are lies. I want you to know. I know it for sure, and I'm telling you, those things are lies. And the truth is that all of us are going to wrestle with spiritual questions at some point. The Bible tells us, though, excuse me, I told you this is a little emotional, and I'm really praying that God will control my tears, because I really want you to hear this, and I don't want you to get distracted by all this, okay? But here we go. So you probably wrestled with these spiritual questions at some point. I'm here to tell you the truth today. That's what I'm wanting to tell you. And it's just this simple. The Bible tells us that God uses all things for good, for those who love him and who are called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. And if you haven't underlined it in your Bible, go ahead and do it now. So the truth is that God is not just sometimes victorious, and he is not just occasionally sovereign. No, no. But God has plans. God has plans that we know nothing about, and he is concerned about people that we have never met. He has things going on that we haven't even dreamt of. And so the truth is that God will allow our suffering only and just until he has accomplished his sovereign purposes. He allows suffering, but he uses it for good. He uses it for good. Yeah. Psalm 118 tells us something that I think we all know, and that is that God is good and that his love endures forever. But I really like looking at different translations of the Bible and seeing things that other people have gotten out of the scriptures. And Eugene Peterson wrote The Message a few years ago. And he put Psalm 118 this way. He said, thank God because he's good, because his love never quits. Tell the world, Israel, his love never quits. And you, clan of Aaron, tell the world, his love never quits. And you who fear God, join in. You who fear God, come on, let's join in and let's say it. His love never quits. Yeah, that is true. And the Bible has a lot to say about waiting in times of suffering. It has a lot to say about miraculous healings, and we love them, and we look for them, and we pray for them. But it also talks about waiting. It talks about waiting in times of suffering. And what does it mean if the answer to your prayer doesn't come right away? Well, honestly, and this is kind of hard to tell you, but sometimes the Bible tells us God won't hear our prayers because of something that we are doing wrong. For instance, James has something to say about it. He says, if you doubt, that your prayers are not effective. If you ask it with impure motives, you're not going to get what you asked for. And oh boy, here's a shocker, and some of you need to pay attention to this. If you're not treating the people that God put in your life to love well, if you're not treating them the way that God wants you to treat them, Peter tells us in 1 Peter that your prayers will be hindered. So you might want to look at these things and ask God. But James also tells us this, that if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men freely. So it might be time to just take an inventory. Just ask the Lord, Lord, is there something that I need to do? And then once you've done that, you're ready to go on to the next step. Because the truth is, the Bible has lots of examples of people who waited. Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith, talks about a lot of people who had to wait for their answer. For instance, Noah built an ark, and then he had to wait for rain. And Abraham and Sarah waited for the child who would become the man whose seed would eventually multiply into a nation. Joseph left instructions for his burial in the Promised Land before he died in Egypt. And Moses led the nation of Israel out of captivity, but he never set foot in the land of promise. Okay? And there are other examples in the New Testament. Jesus asked for the cup to be taken away from him. Paul was called to preach. And then 13 years later, Paul started to preach. Yeah, it took a while. And then here's another thing. Paul prayed 3 times for the thorn in his flesh to be removed from him. And that's in 2 Corinthians 12. But this, the New Testament never gives an account of that healing. I have another story to tell you about a guy who had to wait. This is a big fish story, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with it, but here we go anyway. So God called Jonah to preach to the Ninevites, to tell them to turn away and to follow him. Okay, let's get a little perspective on this. Nineveh, the ancient city of Nineveh, lies on the outskirts of a city called Mosul in Iraq. If you watch the news, you know where Mosul is, and you know it's not a place you want to be. Well, Jonah felt the same way. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to preach to those people. They were his enemies, and they were despicable people, and he didn't feel that they deserved God's love or forgiveness. And so what did he do? He hops on a boat and he heads to Tarshish. Okay, Tarshish is in Spain. So you don't need a map, right? Middle East, Europe. Or maybe it's backward, I don't know. Anyway, he headed in exactly the wrong direction to do what God had told him to do. And so God blew up a big storm. He sent a wind. And the storm came up, and he was in this boat with a bunch of pagan sailors. They didn't know the God of Israel, but they knew enough to know that this storm was a supernatural storm, that it didn't come just because God, somebody had made some god somewhere really mad, really, really mad. And so they cast lots. They found out it was Jonah. Jonah admits, yeah, it's me. I'm running from God. And the only thing that's going to help is if you will pick me up and throw me into the sea. Ah, no, we can't do that. We don't want to make your God angry. We're not going to do that. But finally, they were convinced. They throw him into the sea. And the sea grows calm. Yay! The sailors, they're praising God. And they're very grateful for their release. But here's Jonah. And he's sinking down, down, down. And if you've ever had a near-drowning experience, you probably know that as your lungs grow tighter and seaweed is covering his face, and he knows that he is being separated from God and that he is on his way to a watery grave. But God, our star-breathing, almighty, all-powerful God, sent a great fish. And the fish swallowed Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and 3 nights. All right. So you might think that this was a bad thing, but Jonah didn't really see it that way. In fact, chapter 2 of that book is just this big prayer. Thank you, God. You've saved me. And I'm going to do what you want now. I'll go to Nineveh. Well, the Bible says he was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Okay. But we know that prayer probably took, 10 minutes? And then he's got some waiting to do, right? Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing, though. Because my husband, Ivan, he has a similar story to Jonah. Jonah didn't see that fish as his prison, like I said. He saw that fish as his salvation. And some of you who know Ivan might think that he sees his wheelchair as a prison. You wouldn't want to be in it. But to Ivan, that chair is his freedom. Because with that chair, he's able to go and do and interact and contribute and be a part of the world around him. It's his freedom, and he's very grateful for it. Yeah. And I want to tell you something else about Ivan and his MS. It might seem like a prison MS, but Ivan, he's a very naturally quiet man. He's the original Marlboro man. That's why I that, and I thought he was really cute. But he's really quiet, but his whole life shouts his faith in God. It just shouts it. And I'm here to tell you, he's the same at home as what you see here. He doesn't get discouraged. He doesn't get depressed. He just is Ivan. And in the morning, instead of waking up and saying, oh, I can't do anything. Look at me. I can't do anything. Who's going to help me? Ivan says, what can I do? And then he just goes out and does it. He just does it. And he'll ask, well, who can I help? And then he just goes and helps. And like, you know, the Valentine's thing, he just, if he's not physically able to do something, he he calls on other people and he says, hey, let's go do this. And then they do. It's amazing. God has given him this gift for organizing people to do the things that he's not able to do. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. So, and as his physical abilities have declined, I have to tell you that his heart for people has just expanded. It's a beautiful thing, and it's not a prison. Now, we're talking about Jonah's tight situation, and it is a tight situation. And it came as a result of his bad choices, for sure. But have you ever felt like you were in the belly of the fish, even if you didn't deserve to be there? Yeah, I think you probably have. Chronic illness and pain, it can feel as confining as the belly of a fish. Depression and loss, it can look as dark as the belly of a fish. And we know this. An empty cupboard with an even emptier bank account, it stinks. It stinks just like the belly of a fish. It does. Yeah. Times like these require frequent and very frank conversations with God. But don't be afraid to ask the tough questions, because I'm here to tell you, God is big enough. He can handle it. Yes, he can. Yeah. And I know that sometimes your waiting seems like it goes on forever, but let's talk a little bit about Jonah and his prayer. Okay, 3 days, 3 nights, belly of a fish, got it. That prayer probably took, what, 10, 20 minutes to pray. And then after that, you're in the belly of this fish. It's dark. There's nothing to read. There's no television. You can't play on your tablet or your phone. I'm pretty sure that that waiting felt like an eternity. It would feel like an eternity to me. And I can just see it here, you know. He's getting hungry. He's getting thirsty. There's nothing to drink. And, well, there might be like a herring snack laying around, but no, we're not going to go there. And he's like, at first he's like, yeah, Lord, again, I'm telling you, I'll go to Nineveh. You're great. You're mighty. I love you. Yeah. And then pretty soon he's like, Lord, Hello. I said I'd go to Nineveh. Oh, hey, you, come on. How long am I going to be here? God, this isn't right. This kind of stinks. I really want out. Yeah, it feels like that. Well, like I said, Ivan doesn't see his MS as a prison, because he knows that God is doing something big in his life. He knows that God is accomplishing things. And he knows that God is going to heal him just as soon as he has accomplished the work that he is doing there. We have faith in that. That healing could come today. But here's the thing, too. That healing might not come in this life. Yeah. But we have a little bit of things to tell you about waiting for the answer to prayer. And even if you don't know the story that God is writing in your life, even if you don't know the impact that this will have later on, it's okay. And it's perfectly okay to admit to God that you don't know. You don't see or understand what he's doing. And you don't really have to be afraid to ask those questions, like I said. Go ahead. Ask him. And keep praying for your miracle. Don't ever, ever resign yourself to despair. Here's this, people. Let's not be hypocrites. Don't pretend that things are great when you know that clearly they are not. That's what we're here for, church. We're here to comfort each other and to build each other up and to bring each other along. But other people can't really help you if you don't let them in and let them know. So don't pretend. Don't pretend it's okay if it's not okay. Be patient while you wait. Paul says in Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Remind yourself every day of all the good things he's done for you and all the prayers that he's answered. Now I want to talk to you about another guy in the Old Testament. This guy is Habakkuk. And this book in the Old Testament is a little bit hard to find. So if you go to Matthew and then turn right, and you want to go past Zephaniah, Zechariah, all those. If you get to Job, you've gone too far, come back the other way, okay? But Habakkuk was a guy who saw injustice all around him. It really troubled him. He was really in distress. So he started asking God some hard questions. How long, God? Is this going to go on? How long is this going to go on? And then here's the thing. In Habakkuk 2, verse 3, the Holy Spirit moved Habakkuk to write this. The revelation awaits an appointed time, and it speaks of the end, and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. Praise God. Praise God. So I want to just finish up by reading the very end of that famous chapter in Hebrews, chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. I want you to go with me to, let's start kind of halfway through verse 35. I said 32 on the overhead, but that's okay. We're going to start at 35 and halfway through. And it says here, others were tortured. So all those people that got what God promised them, all of them, okay? Yay. Some of them after years of waiting, yay. But here's the rest of it. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain, refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging. Still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. No. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. These were all commended for their faith. Yet, none of them received what had been promised. Why, God? Why? Verse 40. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Praise God. See, here's the truth. If this world, if this was it, if this was the only thing that existed and mattered, then my life and Ivan's life would be a pretty sad thing. But I'm here to tell you it's not, because we know, we know that this life is just a vapor, and that God has promised us something much better, and that we have heaven waiting for us. We know this. So God has planned something much better. Praise God. I can tell you for sure, for absolute sure, that God loves me. And I want to share a verse with you, just in case in your waiting, you need to hear this. So turn to Psalm 116, verse 1. We're going to read verse 1 and 2. And again, if you haven't underlined this in your Bible, underline it in your Bible. And then fold the corner of that page down so that you can get to it later when you need it, because you probably will need it. I have. It goes like this. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. And because he turned his ear to me, I will pray to him as long as I live. God loves you. God is a good God. God loves endures forever. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, his love never quits. So let's pray, okay? Stand with me. Father God, help us grow in our faith beyond our need to figure out everything. We know that you are intimately aware of our needs and that you have the very best plans for us. Help us remember your faithfulness, even when it seems like we have been waiting forever. Give us the courage to ask you the hard questions, and then give us the courage to listen for your answer. Turn our trials into testimony, and help us remember that your love never quits. Turn our waiting into a positive expectation of your generous love and goodness in this life and in the life to come. Amen.
Beautiful. Come on. Thank you, Lord, for Shelly. Great word. Thank you, Jesus. So I heard two things this morning. His love never quits, and you better check your heart, because we don't want to be responsible for any of the roadblocks between us and God. Amen. So now go out and help others and remind them the Lord loves you and his love never quits. And let's get our hearts right. Amen. Be blessed. For you men that can stick around, let's get together in the fireside room, hear what's on the Lord's heart for Valentine's Day. And we'll see you back tonight at 6 o'clock if you're able to join us. God bless you.